Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in the space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Well, good afternoon from Florida's Space Coast, where in just 5 days, President Obama is going to fly into the Kennedy Space Center and say, well, what? We don't know. We'll find out soon enough, though. I'm Jim Behnke, and this is the April 10th, 2010 edition of Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance. Innovation you can trust, performance you can count on. Well, as usual, there is much to cover and little time to get to it all, but we're certainly going to try. And at the same time, remind you that whatever space-related topic it is that we're discussing, it is what's on your mind that I want to hear most about. Just give us a call, 321-768-1240, the number here, or star 1240 for our local AT&T wireless customers along the Space Coast. If you are listening to us online, streaming live right now on WMMBAM.com, feel free to send us an email if you'd like with your questions and comments. The address is spacetalking@AOL.com. Once again, spacetalking@AOL.com. Okay, first things first, Space Shuttle Discovery. It does remain in orbit today, docked with the International Space Station. If you missed, if you're local here to Central Florida, or really anywhere along the Southeast U.S. or up and down the Eastern Seaboard, if you missed the absolutely breathtaking launch last Monday, then you missed something very special. First, to see the space station itself fly overhead just minutes before the launch, and in fact, depending on where you are in Brevard County, that space station flew right over the moon, basically, right in front of the moon. It was incredible. And then to have Discovery light up the sky the way it did, the sunrise coming up, letting up the exhaust plume, the brilliant colors we saw in the SRB exhaust trail afterwards. Well, as I said, it was very something special. And with only three more shuttle launches to go, each one of them is really putting off a neat show for us and going out in style, let's put it that way. Discovery's mission does continue to go well, despite the loss of the main communications antenna. It's called the Ku-band system. It's their high data rate communication system. Basically, the thing never activated when it got to orbit, a very rare occurrence, I might add. The problem isn't serious in terms of safety of spaceflight or anything like that, and although it does cause the crew to do some workarounds and maybe be a little more busy than they had planned, the flight itself basically unaffected in terms of getting everything done. But the problem has prompted the mission management team to extend Discovery's flight by 1 day. They made that announcement yesterday. That'll give them time to do a final inspection of the heat shield of Discovery while it's still docked to the space station and use that the high data rate, the Ku-band system that is on board the International Space Station to send that data down and make sure everything is all well. So right now, the way it is looking right now for the week ahead, first spacewalk, by the way, wrapped up Friday morning yesterday. Next one, the second of three, will begin early Sunday morning tomorrow. The third EVA looking like it's early Tuesday morning. And now with the extension, the undocking of Discovery from the space station will be Saturday, next Saturday the 17th, with landing set for Monday the 18th, back here at the Kennedy Space Center, weather provided at 8:53 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So again, the mission going well with another full week ahead, and we'll talk some more about it again next weekend. And there's a lot more other things we should be talking about, given the news of the week, and as we said, the upcoming visit of the president to the Space Coast. But and we'll get to that very shortly. But what I want to do that when we get there, with the help of my very special guest this week, NASA and industry space veteran Roy Tharp, next Saturday night, the National Space Club Florida Committee will be holding its annual Dr. Kurt Debus Award Dinner at the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex. The award is named for the first director of the Kennedy Space Center and is the most prestigious award a person associated with the space program can receive here in the state of Florida. This year, the National Space Club Florida Committee's Board of Directors, of which I am a member of, voted unanimously to present this year's Debus Award to Roy Tharp, who is currently president of Space Gateway Support and who has spent nearly 50 years working launch operations, the vast majority of it here at the Cape. Now, we're going to say a lot more nice things about Roy next weekend during the dinner, but I do want to let all of our listeners know right now that in addition to being a loyal space program manager and respected community servant, Roy Tharp is one of the finest mentors I have ever had the honor to learn from. And Roy, welcome to Space Talk, and congratulations on earning the Debus Award this year.
Well, Jim, it's my pleasure to be here, and thank you for your service. You know, I listened to your intro, and it's Fido, go, Inco, go. And I always expect a Banky, go. So it is my pleasure to be here, and thanks for the invite. And I'm definitely honored for the prestigious Debus Award, and very, very happy, and thanks a lot for the invitation.
Well, you're certainly welcome, and I'm glad to have you here. We're going to talk about a lot of things with you. Now, there's a lot I want to ask you about current events.
Sure.
But before we get there, let's talk about the life and times of Roy Tharp growing up. Now, you were born in Georgia, quickly corrected that mistake, and moved here to Merritt Island at age four. And you're born and raised Floridian, or basically raised from an early kid as a Floridian.
Well, there were seven of us kids, and my dad worked the timber lines between Georgia and Florida, and I just happened to be in Georgia when my mama gave birth to Roy Tharp. And so we moved here, and it was history, and it was really great to be on Merritt Island.
Mm-hmm.
All of those years, going to Cocoa High School, being a part of the community because my mom ran a restaurant, and in 1957, our world changed with Sputnik. And because of that, we knew the workers, we knew all the beehives and what was going on, and we had new friends coming into the area, and it was very, very exciting from a sleepy community that had orange groves and agricultural to the aerospace birth.
Yeah.
And I was happy about that.
And with the aerospace birth, how soon before you became aware of that, that you saw missiles taking off?
Well, we had a very good instructor in high school, Phil Eschbach. And Phil taught at Cocoa High, and then he taught at BCC. And we knew how significant Sputnik was. And seeing that, hearing the beep, 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 mm-hmm. being exposed to it, it got in my blood, and when I saw the first set of launches, you know, I've probably witnessed over 2,500 launches,
yeah,
or participated in them. And whether I was on the beach, on the sands of Cocoa Beach, or at Port Canaveral, or on Cape Canaveral in those early days, very, very exciting.
Do you remember your first launch, or what the earliest memory of your first launch?
Oh, I couldn't. I was working construction. I was home from summer.
Yeah.
Complex 20 had a Titan sitting on it. I was on a surveying crew,
yeah.
And they lifted off. It made an immediate left turn.
Uh-oh.
Heading towards me. I was up 10 feet in the air, and the next thing I jumped, and all of a sudden I look up, and there that vehicle is heading right at me.
Oh,
and they blew it, and next thing was, almost knocked me over. So I understood range safety from then on. We were moved off of Complex 34 and sent down to the industrial area at Hangar D. So how vivid is that? But I knew they needed somebody like me to come out here and help them.
Yeah, it sounds like it absolutely was the case. And it wasn't too long before you officially began working here after getting your degree. And we're going to come back here in a couple minutes and talk some more with Roy Tharp, the 2010 winner of the Kurt Debus Award. Again, Debus, our first KSC director, the most prestigious honor the state of Florida has available to it in the space program. And so we're going to do that. In the meantime, 321-768-1240, where you can call in and join us, or star 1240 on your AT&T wireless customer cell phone. This is Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance. I'm Jim Banky. You're listening to WMMB.
Thank you. And now back to Space Talk on WMMB.
Well, and welcome back to Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance. And 321-768, again, I just caught something in my corner of my eye. Okay, that's cool. 321-768-1240 is the number to call to join us today with your questions or comments. Again, send us email to spacetalking@aol.com, and we're going to go right away to the phones to Mr. Jim Kennedy on the line with us this morning or this afternoon. Jim, how are you, sir? Are you there? Okay. Aaron? I guess we're working on that. Well, let's also greet. Now, we've got Roy Tharp here, who is the winner of the Debus Award this year from the National Space Club Florida Committee, and we're talking the life and times today of Roy Tharp, and, of course, we're going to learn a lot from that experience as well. But also in the studio, just joining us now, former KSC Launch Director Bob Sieg. Bob, welcome.
Well, good afternoon, Jim. Good to be here.
Good to have you here, sir, and you're here to say some nice things about Roy?
Well, a few things, maybe.
Well, and you're going to hang out with us for a little while here, so we'll have you chime in as appropriate, but... Roy, we're talking about how you were growing up here and your early experiences. So now after getting your degree, you came immediately work to the Kennedy Space Center as a NASA employee.
Yes.
1963, Kurt Debus is, in fact, it wasn't even the Kennedy Space Center yet.
It was the Launch Operations Directorate.
Right.
Hired in through Marshall Space Flight Center.
Right.
And then it was renamed the Launch Operations Center. And then after President Kennedy died, they renamed it the Kennedy Space Center. So in those early days, we were on the Cape, Hangar D, and we had a telemetry ground station and a data office. And once all the facilities were done in 64, we started moving over to the KSC facilities as they sit today. And but our first launches were out of Complex 34 when we were working on the Saturn I and then the Saturn 1B block of vehicles.
Yeah, and which is now, let's see, Complex 34, which is, of course, abandoned in place now.
Right.
37 active now with the Delta.
Yes, my first launch off of Complex 34, I can remember it today, the liftoff time was 16:24:01.4 Zulu. Being in the data business, I will never
forget that piece of data. That's great. That's great. Well, and you lived, you worked at a time when Dr. Debus was the first director. And as I have seen more and more of the new generation and kids coming up today, a lot of them, unfortunately, don't even know who Dr. Debus is. And he was a rather formative personality, a force to be reckoned with, wasn't he?
Absolutely. When he walked in, he always had his hand in his left pocket, that left hand, and he was very distinctive, and he was a very strong disciplinarian. He believed in the chain of command,
right?
And he believed in conducting business. When you were going to start a meeting, you started that meeting on time. I learned in Apollo that on time meant early. You needed to get there early, and I was very fortunate to be on his staff when we had finished the Apollo program, and we were getting ready to transition to the shuttle program.
And very old-school management, not... I don't want to say touchy-feely now, down on the floor, glad handling with the gang. I mean, I always heard that he ruled from the fourth floor.
Yes, he did.
And if you were in trouble or there was a concern, you walked into his office and walked out one of two ways, with your badge or without it.
Well, when I was there and when I
and
was
And how often did you get called into the fourth
when
floor?
When I was on the fourth, it only needed to happen once, and it happened once for
okay.
me. We had a center planning office. And we were young guns. I mean, we had already gone to the moon, and it was 1971, 72 time frame. And we were on the fourth floor in Mahogany Row.
Yeah.
We had coffee brought in every morning. And unfortunately, there were three of us guys and one gal. And we were really loud one day because we were setting up a new organization. We had to structure it a certain way. And we just thought how great it was that we were going to take and put these first-line directors in different positions because mm-hmm. Dr. Debus had required that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got loud one morning. He walked by, looked in at us, and the next week, we were moved to the third floor.
Oh, jeez.
So, but I mean, that's the way it was. On that fourth floor, you had dignity, you had presence,
right.
And we were just too young and too gung-ho, but we got her done.
Well, and speaking with Ruling with an Iron Fist, let's try again to go to Jim Kennedy. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am, Jim. I apologize for cutting you off earlier.
Okay, no problem. Well, former director of the Kennedy Space Center, the man the center was almost named for, or was it the other way around? I can't remember.
Right.
But, Jim, welcome to Space Talk. Good to hear from you, sir.
Well, thank you. It's a privilege to be here. I know you have Bob Seek there and probably dozens of people trying to call in, Jim, so I will keep my comments short. I just wanted to congratulate Roy and Barbara Tharp. I think they are a team, and behind Roy has been Barbara for 47 years. I wanted to congratulate both of them and their family on a very, very well-deserved recognition, and we look forward 1 week from today to being in the audience to congratulate them personally.
Well, Jim, that's great. Anything that want to respond to that, Roy?
Well, I'll just say Jim is a very personal friend of mine. He is also the 2006 Debus Award winner.
He is.
And he had worked with me when I was with NASA, and my last assignment was the Space Flight Ops contract. And he was our rep from the Marshall Space Flight Center, and he contributed a lot as to how we were going to do the process. And so, Jim, thank you to you and Bernie, and we will see you on Saturday night. Godspeed.
We'll look forward to it, Roy.
Thanks, Jim, for calling, and appreciate it.
Thank you both. Have a good day.
Talk to you again.
Bye.
Well, and Bob Seek, also a Debus Award winner. I'm in good company here. Tell us about Roy Tharp. You got with another minute or so here. Tell us what we ought to know about this guy.
Well, again, Jim Kennedy mentioned the strong family ties, and that certainly is a feature that goes with knowing Roy Tharp. Also, community support. You can't overlook the fact that in spite of his day job, we'll call it, over the years, Chamber of Commerce, Cocoa Beach, and a number of charity organizations. He's been a great supporter of Habitat for Humanity, and that also needs to be said. Probably first and foremost in his career, Roy epitomized the attitude that, we had a number of challenges. He had a number of challenges in all of his job assignments, but he always took them on with the attitude that here's how we can, not mm-hmm. why we can't, which is obviously a feature of contributing to all the successes we enjoyed out there over the years.
Well, and it seems as I've known Roy through my career and reading up even more on him as we were working on the Debus stuff, this guy's had his hand in just about everything.
Well, yes, and of course there's another way you could look at that, particularly his resume biography with NASA. He had a number of jobs in different organizations at KSC as well as out in Edwards Air Force Base for the Shuttle Approach and Landing mm-hmm. Test Program. Of course, another way you could look at that is maybe management kept moving him around trying to find a job that he could do.
That is the other way to look at it, isn't it?
No, but that's, that's a tweak. I think the only thing about his career that, as I look back, that I'd say, well, I don't really feel good about was when he left NASA. He retired mm-hmm. from NASA as opposed to quit. That's the wrong term, but it's retired. No. When he was a deputy for me with shuttle processing, and I always kept asking myself, what did I do
what
wrong
did
to
you
lose
do
this guy?
To send him packing.
Well, now, Bob also is a 1994 Debus winner, and I served with Bob in the ground ops team that went to Edwards.
Right.
And he exposed me to a completely different world. He had worked with the crew. He had worked on a lot of things, and I was just on the outskirts of that, and he put me right into the middle of it. And, I was working with General Stafford and Dick Scobie out at Edwards Flight Test Center. Mm-hmm. I was working with Lee Shearer, the center director, and Paul Donnelly, who was our ground ops manager, and we had the Palmdale interface, and we had the Dryden interface. We had Goddard come on board with a Buckhorn ground station. So my wings were able to be spread, and Bob, I credit that to you, and I'm disappointed that I never got to serve as deputy, but I do always remember going up and asking you if you were going to retire in 2 years. NASA was good to me. I was going to stay on. But if you weren't going to retire in 2 years, I was going to take and go to work for Boeing as their launch site integration manager.
That's good stuff. And we've got just about a minute or so before we break for the bottom of the hour. Let's talk quickly about the shuttle approach and landing test. A whole new world for you guys. You work in Apollo, expendable, and now you got to go figure out how to bring this winged vehicle back. And instead of the lush tropical life, you're sitting in the middle of the high desert. It must have been an exciting time.
It was fantastic because we set up, Norm Carlson set up a NASA test director organization. I set up an STM organization. Those organizations are in place today. We had the first convoy commander, Roland Norris, set up to take and run that. And then we had the wizard for all of those systems with Bob Sieg. So, you know, it was a great time and a lot of R&D regarding that.
Well, it was the epitome of a team environment, a NASA contractor team, and everybody that went out there for a duration of about 2 years from KSC, there was roughly, what, Roy, maybe almost 100 families.
Right.
And we became a close-knit activity, and we came back from those 2 years as the proverbial experts for the shuttle program because nobody down here had ever touched the hardware like we had.
And the families stayed together and are very tight today. Our kids are very tight today.
Yeah, a whole new environment. Well, we're going to talk some more with Roy Tharp, the Divas Award winner this year, former launch director Bob Sieg, and others might be calling in as well. Take our five-minute built-in hold and be back with more Space Talk. I'm Jim Behnke. This is WMMB.
With everything you need to know about America's space program, here is Jim Behnke.
And welcome back to the second half of Space Talk right here on WMMB, courtesy of United Space Alliance. Innovation you can trust, performance you can count on. Again, 321-768-1240, the number to call to get right here into the studio. Star 1240 for AT&T wireless customers along the Space Coast. You can email us at spacetalking@AOL.com. And throughout the week, follow us on Twitter. Our username is Space Talking. We also have a Space Talk website, which you can get to by going to WMMBAM.com using the keyword Space Talk. And it's also at that site where just a few hours from now, you'll be able to download a recording of today's show and keep it for all time. Roy, just have the entire family start downloading like crazy.
We'll do that, Jim.
Okay. We do have Roy Tharp with us today. If you're joining us now for the second half of the program, Roy is the 2010 winner of the Kurt Debus Award, Florida's most prestigious space honor given out by the National Space Club Florida Committee. Also in the studio, former launch director from Kennedy Space Center and a Debus Award winner himself, Bob Sieg. And Roy and Bob were just talking about the life and times of Roy Tharp, and we're talking about space shuttle. You guys spent some time out at the high desert and doing the early days of shuttle landing tests and whatnot. It comes back here, it launches, and you guys just must have, it was a whole new era.
Well, we set up the organizations in the firing room, and the critical ground launch sequencer, Bob Sieg, had built that software to monitor all of those systems. We knew the systems by being exposed with it out in California. You know, they talk about systems of systems integration today, and the folks that were involved in the early days, we knew what systems of systems integration was before it became really systems of system integration.
Right, like the current buzz thing or whatever.
Absolutely.
So shuttle gets going. You're all excited. Everything's going fine. Of course, then we did have to face Challenger, and it was an awful day. And you guys had the experience to pick up the pieces and get flying again.
Yes, we did. I mean, the objective that Tom Utzman gave us was, let's answer the Rogers Commission. Brewster Shaw was the astronaut that we interfaced with during that time for the KSC ground ops input to the Rogers Commission. But then we knew that we had to fly again and fly safer, and so we did that.
And the time went on. I'm sorry. And the time went on. We had successes. We had some more failures. And now here we are at the sunset of this program, and I guess even I'm in still a little bit of denial about it. We've known about it for 6 years, but it's really facing us now. Three more flights to go. I mean, what does that feel like?
Well, you know, every program, Gemini, Mercury ended, Gemini ended, Apollo ended, the Skylab program ended. And then Apollo Soyuz test project came in the middle before the end of Skylab and then Shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
So that sunset is nothing new to this team. It is a very large workforce. So was Apollo.
Right.
So, you know, we've become to love the space shuttle program, and I love it dearly. It's been super to me, but it's time to move on.
Bob, what's your take on that?
Well, I certainly agree with the bottom line. Moving on is the right thing to do. The concern is the gap between, you know, one manned, you know, mm-hmm. Human spaceflight program and the next, and an Apollo program. After Apollo, we had a few flights in here to keep the team together and focused. It's going to be more difficult this time without a specific mission for the next human spaceflight program.
But now, so shuttle's gone. We had some hopes of Constellation. That's gone too. We're not sure what the president's going to tell us this week, but. But this past week, NASA Administrator Charlie Bolden did put out a pretty direct set of I don't know if they're instructions or marching orders or at least maybe just explanations as to what some of this money that's going to be spent. And it seemed like there might be some good news here, Roy.
Well, when I look at it, you know, we've got the KSC Commercial Crew Development Office. That is a program office. That's like a four-star general moving into the area. We were all almost going to move the shuttle program office to KSC just prior to Challenger, and Leonard Nicholson was a part of that. And so we were going to take and have that dimension here. And I look at this as a great opportunity. And when you look at Bob Cabana and those first line directors that he has, this is something that they've got to embrace and take on. So I look at that, and I look at the deputy program office. So I know, Bob, you were very involved when we were going to move the shuttle program office here.
This Roy has a good point. This is a significant item. If you recall the beginning of the human spaceflight program, the control was here in Florida. Mission control was here until the politics, tell it like it is, you know, was such that that would be moved to the Johnson Space Center in Texas, and it was. And that's where it's been run, and all the major programs have been run out of there since then. The message we're getting from the new policy is the next major program is going to be run from the Kennedy Space Center, and it's like the golden rule, you know. The contracts will be managed from here. The gold source will be here, and you know, whoever has gold rules, so it will be different.
Yeah, and so we hear that the program office is coming, and a deputy program manager might be coming here, But that's not the name of a rocket program. I mean, I can't picture a rocket on a pad because of a program's coming here. So I think a lot of people are having trouble relating to how important this is.
Well, Jim, though, you're looking at 130 launches. You're looking at a lot of patches. You're looking at a lot of pins. You're looking at a lot of T-shirts.
Right.
And those things will come. You won't have that in the very early time frame. We had the space shuttle patch, and that was it, and we had the ALT patch. And it was a long time, and the STS-1 patch, but that was it. And that will come. You know, Columbus leaving England, he didn't have all of that defined what was in front of him, but he had the Queen give him money and the resources to go forth and find that new world. So we in Brevard County need to just take a breath and realize what is coming, and let's prepare for it. We did it. We've had time to prepare for this reduction. We didn't have time in Apollo. A lot of us lived Apollo, and we don't want to have Brevard County in that situation again. So we'll work through this, and Brevard County will work through it in that gap, but let's hope it's not as long as everybody is thinking it's going to be.
Well, you mentioned the patches and the pins, and you know what? That's exactly what I relate to because, you know, I want to hear where we're going. I don't necessarily care when we're going to get there. I want it to be as soon as possible. But I'm tired of the deadline. I'm tired of within this decade because I think you're just setting ourselves up for failure when you do that. But if I'm being told all of this technology development is going to what we need to go somewhere again, asteroids, moon, Mars, wherever, then I'm beginning to like it even more. But you know what I need? I do need that patch. I need that program name. I need that thing I can grasp and say, this is what it's all about. This is my flag. This is the symbol of what I'm doing.
We'll draw you up a flagship technology demonstration patch
soon,
and give it to you. Because,
okay, but not in time for the president to come.
Well, the president's going to be here, and we're all excited about the words that he's going to share with us. I think that you look at what Bolden did and Garver did with their rollouts this week, and you look at what Bob Cabana did with his all hands. This thing is starting to gel, and with a much better presentation. So the skeleton is there, and we're going to put a little bit of flesh to it, and there'll be a lot of muscle coming. So hopefully the president will give us a little bit more of the muscle, and we get the budget looks like something that is going to be new. And so this new era, we got to get excited about.
Well, and I think we can be excited about it, and I am. You know, when I read some of these details about in-flight refueling capability, some new engine propulsion technology that we need to develop, you know, there seems to be pieces out there. And then whenever they do talk about flagship demonstration, that's kind of a weird name. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm not sure what that means. But I start thinking about, well, these are going to require launches. These are going to require missions that are going to require payload processing, launch operations. And so now it starts to begin to make sense that although it's kind of esoteric out there right now, there is a lot going on. And this technology stuff is important to us, isn't it?
Well, it is, Jim. And in order to do something bold in the future, like go back to the moon, do mining, or look at colonizing another planet or some heavenly body other than our good planet, the Earth, you're going to need those technologies. The challenge is between now and when the mission for that is determined is having the patience to get through this gap, the transition period, without having a patch or a mission. That's
right.
The challenge.
And we're going to need good leaders following in the footsteps. And by the way, we have Todd on the phone here. Todd, welcome to Space Talk.
Well, good afternoon.
A voice. Does this voice ring a bell to you, Roy Tharp?
Well, good afternoon,
this
son.
This is your life.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hey, Dan, I just heard you on the radio. I wanted to call in and congratulate you.
Well, thank you, son. I'm looking forward to Saturday night to see you in a tux again.
Yeah, that'll be nice. And I wanted to tell you all that I appreciate y'all's words about the future of the program also.
Todd, well, what do we not know about your father we ought to know?
Oh, I think you've heard most of it from other industry accolades, but also from the personal stories, both from people that he has worked with and they have worked for him in the years, just how genuine and passionate he is about the industry and what a great person he is. So,
well, I appreciate those kind words, Todd. And then also, we got Bob Seek here, and you worked with his kids because we were in California together.
Yep, we were all the way out there during approach and landing days, an early shuttle program.
Yep, and worked with Bruce.
Yep,
worked with Bruce, and hello, Mr. Seek.
Hi, good afternoon, Todd, and I get like your dad, I look forward to seeing you all dressed up next weekend.
Good. Todd, thanks for giving us a call, okay? We hope to see you next weekend.
Enjoy your afternoon.
Great. And we're going to just take one last quick break here. When we return, we'll have Roy Tharp and Bob Seek continue with us, and we'll also be joined by Brevard County Commissioner Robin Fisher. We're all going to talk about the rally plan for tomorrow afternoon at Space Coast out of the Cocoa Expo. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here. This is Jim Banky. You're listening to WMMB, and this is Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance.
Now, back to our own mission specialist, Jim Banky.
And again, welcome back as we begin our final segment of today's Space Talk, sponsored by United Space Alliance. Well, 6 years ago, the decision was made to shut down the space shuttle program in favor of a new program that would take us back to the moon, allow us to learn what we needed to travel at long last on its way to Mars. And then more recently, the decision made to cancel Constellation with its Ares 1 and Ares 5 rockets, Orion spacecraft. And for these and other reasons, a lot of people who care about the future of the United States space program suddenly were not too happy and concerned about our future. And among those who are very concerned about our future in Brevard County is Brevard County Commissioner Robin Fisher, who joins us by phone. And Commissioner Fisher, welcome to you, sir. It's good to talk to you again.
Hey, good talking to you, Jim. Thanks for the invite.
You bet. Well, look, this is a complicated issue, and things have gone both ways. We've been very angry. We've been in denial. We've been upset. We've been excited. All those emotions are at play. And now the president's coming in a few days to talk. And you've got a big rally plan tomorrow to do what and tell us what and what's it all about?
Well, you know, I got approached by a local pastor up here, Larry Linkus, that was thinking about doing a rally with the theme behind it to just bring the faith base together to pray for our community. And I started thinking about what he was trying to do. And I said, Larry, if you don't mind and you let me get involved, I would like to broaden it beyond the faith base and just get the whole community to rally behind this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that went from a parking lot affair at his church to a county park at Sandpoint to it got so big and people started getting excited about it that now it's at the Cocoa Expo.
That's incredible. And this is not a, as maybe some people originally thought, this is not an anti-president rally. This is not an anti- whatever rally. This is, and it's not even really for a particular program or a line of thinking, is it? It's really just a pro space kind of thing.
Well, the whole purpose of the rally was to support human space exploration, and it is a pro rally. And it's one, we want to celebrate the success we've had in space, but also two, we want to make sure before the president gets here on the 15th that he has understanding that the space is important not only to Brevard County, but it's a national issue and definitely a state issue too. So, and so we just want to bring that out. And so, yes, it is a pro rally. This is not an anti-Obama rally. This is not a I don't like health care. I don't like how the stimulus dollars are being spent. I prefer those people stay home, to be honest with you.
This is not a Tea Party in space rally.
No, this is not a Tea Party in space. This has nothing to do with Tea Party, and it's not a political rally, and it's basically making sure that we send a clear message that we're very supportive of human space exploration. We're not trying to architect the next vehicle. We don't know enough about that to say whether Constellation is good or bad. We do believe that until that next vehicle is developed, that we ought to continue to fly the space shuttle until the replacement vehicle's here.
Roy Tharp, Bob Seek, you're still with us in the studio. What do you think about it? It's been a long time since we've seen this kind of grassroots reaction from our workforce and from our community.
Well, I'm really happy that our county commission, Robin Fisher, is behind this. It's exciting to get the community involved because we all here understand what it means to have the space program and what it means to America for us to keep a space program. So that's what we've got to take and focus on. And Commissioner Fisher, thank you very much.
Hey.
And I'd certainly echo
welcome.
That. It's a it's a good thing, and I hope it is not just well supported. I hope it gets tremendous support from all over Florida and sends the message that a human spaceflight program, a robust human spaceflight program, is necessary for our society. It's just as important as keeping the roads paved and the lights on.
And Commissioner Fisher, let me ask you just a logistical question. People showing up at 3 o'clock at the Cocoa Expo, you want them bringing lawn chairs? Is there food for sale? Do we bring coolers? What are there things for the kids to do?
We've got bounce houses for kids and face painting, and some NASA or one of their contractors have some space exhibits. I think we got a spaceman walking around. Their refreshment will be sold just like any other ballpark, so the concession stand will be open. The music starts at actually 3 o'clock, so we have some bands. So really you want to get there before 4. You want to get there around 3, and we'll have some live entertainment going on. And then the actual meat of the program where the speakers will kick off at 4.
Great. Thank
so
you.
Don't need to bring any lawn chairs. We've got the grandstands that hold 3,500 people there, and then we'll have some seating on the field also.
Good. Thanks. Commissioner, good luck with the rally tomorrow. Thanks for being on the show with us again. And Bob Seek, thanks for stopping by. We're wrapping up here the program today for your input. And Roy Tharp, again, congratulations on winning the Debus Award. It's well-deserved. You are an icon. You're the man, and we couldn't be more happier to be honoring you in this way.
Well, it was my pleasure, Jim, to be here, and thanks for the invitation, and Sorry you're going to be out of town on Saturday night, but we'll miss you. But the rest of the board will razz you the next time we see you. And we should put in a plug for our space club, NationalSpaceClubFlorida.org.
That's
NSCFL.org. And that space club is doing a lot of great things. Luncheons are being held the second Tuesday of the month. Great programs. Over a couple of hundred folks show up for those. So
it's a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
And we will continue to stress the importance of the Space Club to everyone in the coming days. Let's also not forget that there's still time to head out to the Astronaut Hall of Fame tonight for Yuri's Night, which remembers the first man to go in space, Yuri Gagarin, on April 12, 1961. Science demonstrations, spaceflight simulators, and all of the displays and exhibits will be open to the public, which is also going to include a former astronaut or two for you folks to meet. And so it should be a really great time. Again, Yuri's Night at the Astronaut Hall of Fame tonight. Apollo 13 events still continue through the weekend. Get out to the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex and see what's left to do out there this weekend, again, as we celebrate the 40th anniversary of that flight. Don't forget, again, the rally tomorrow. Safe Space Rally tomorrow, 4 o'clock at the Cocoa Expo. Doors open at 3 o'clock. And as Commissioner Fisher just said, just show up and bring your family, bring some spending money for snacks and goodies, and partake in all that there is to offer and show your support for our space program. Next week on Space Talk, we're going to spend the entire hour reviewing President Obama's visit to the Space Coast. We'll try to get some of our local elected folks online to tell us what they think about what they heard and what we think is going to happen to our space program, not only here at the Kennedy Space Center, but around the nation as well. So that should be it for about today. Thanks for listening. Don't forget that you can stay in touch with Space Talk on WMMBAM.com, keyword Space Talk throughout the week. Send us email at spacetalking@AOL.com. Follow us on Twitter at Space Talking as well. Space Talk is sponsored by United Space Alliance and is a production of Mila Solutions. Aaron Michaels is this particular Starship's chief engineer. I'm Jim Banky. We'll talk to you again real soon. Now, don't go anywhere. Dan Connery is next as live and local radio continues on a Saturday afternoon right here on WMMB.